Tune into KPBS Podcasts, where San Diego's voices come alive.
Don't let the algorithm tell you what you like. Find things that you really enjoy.
It's really powerful to see how the voice of the students impacted so much change.
Said, seguimos aquí. We're still here.
Listen now at kpbs.org/podcasts or wherever you listen.
Here's Topeka Clementine.
Kai Simovich, aka Topeka Clementine, is one of San Diego's most prolific musicians and one of its great storytellers.
Does anyone here know the story of the Estonian Revolution? Yeah, let's go. Okay, so you can fact check me on this one.
They mesmerized us, our coworkers, and even a few San Diego State students passing by with an inspiring and interactive performance for our new KPBS Sun-Drenched Sounds live music series.
This is turning into a jam. This has actually all been an audition, and you passed, and now you're in the band.
Through their songs and our conversation, we learned how Kai went from working as a professional chef at one of the world's top restaurants to becoming a viral indie rock artist anxiously tracking follower counts, to the relentlessly hardworking artist activists they are now. Someone deeply committed to changing lives through live music, and they know how to put on a show.
Child, oh, won't you please rest your head and go to sleep? Don't you worry about the people out and at you, they're just sheep. They are unto the slaughter, they're the sons or the daughters who have never known what true love means.
From KPBS Public Media, this is The Finest, a podcast about the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego. I'm Julia Dixon Evans.
Hi, I'm Alan Lilienthal, host of Port of Entry. Journalism and local podcasts are worth protecting. Art is worth protecting. Individual voices are worth protecting. KPBS's mission is to be San Diego's storyteller, and when you support KPBS, you protect local stories. To donate today, visit kpbs.org/donate.
After the patio performance, Kai followed us back to our studio for an interview. Their answer to our standard mic check question, what was the last meal you ate, was unusually detailed and honestly kind of perfect.
What I had for dinner last night, oh man, I made a pasta puttanesca. I like got some canned tomatoes and I like sauteed them down, and I got some shiitake mushrooms, like cut them into little cubes and got those going. And then my friend Will, who's in a couple bands in San Diego, he came over to jam. So I just let that simmer while we were jamming. You want to know my umami hack, actually? It's kind of crazy. A little spoonful of miso in the pasta sauce.
I just used miso last night.
We're miso mates.
Miso's hot
miso
right now.
Miso is hot right now. It's all the rage.
And yeah, we're rolling.
If it's not already clear, Kai actually has serious culinary credentials, and cooking was their first real career. Before music became their full-time focus, Kai apprenticed at Amas, a world-renowned restaurant in Copenhagen.
I would sometimes just like to go back to cooking. I was like a professional chef for 5 years before I became a music person. And that's like something I was actually properly good at. I don't feel particularly skilled at music. I just can't stop. With music, I'm constantly breaching the unknown, and it just gets very exhausting, and there's so much decision paralysis. Whereas with cooking, I know how to just sort of be a cog in a wheel, and here's what the menu is today. Make it good.
But it seems that kitchen work ethic has stuck with Kai. Since launching Topeka Clementine as a musical project in 2022, Kai has released more than a dozen albums and EPs. Kai also approaches performing with the same fervor. Part of my work at KPBS involves scouring show listings each week to pick recommendations for our arts preview. And I just kept seeing Topeka Clementine in lineups week after week, headlining, supporting, everywhere. Who plays that many shows and puts out that much music that quickly? It turns out someone who treats music like both a craft and a calling. I remember thinking, okay, fine, I'll listen. And just based on an adorable fried egg album artwork, I queued up Breakfast for One. We'll start with Breakfast for One. Can you tell us how the song originated and what it means to you?
It's funny. That song came from a very real, deep emotion of just, like, getting ghosted. Which is so... It's silly in retrospect because I obviously don't talk to that person. But I don't know. I just don't feel the emotions in that same way anymore. It was just a very silly crush gone wrong. In retrospect, but it felt so intense in the moment.
Still haunt my dreams.
But it became a viral sensation because of the piano bit I did in the beginning. So many people have used that. I think Premier League Soccer used that. I think, like,
wow.
I think Ford Bronco used that.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't see a penny from any of that because it was just on Instagram, you know.
That is bonkers, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And, like, there's nothing that an artist can do.
I didn't even get my publishing sorted until after all those things happened, so there's probably some royalties I could have been making. Some people said there's, like, lawsuits I could take, but I don't... My time is so precious. I don't want to spend any of it in litigation if I don't have to.
It's such a double-edged sword because you want your songs to be that, to, like, be the trending audio.
Yeah.
Because that's how kids discover music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I'm still very grateful that it's gotten exposure. Your audio has its own little metadata section, and then you can see, like, 70,000 people used it to, like, not today, but, like, over the span of it existing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I used to be a lot more into the numbers. I was very obsessed with that kind of stuff. And then I kind of slowly realized it doesn't really matter at all.
Yeah. Did you feel almost like a sense of it's in my better interest to not pay attention to these numbers? Or is it more just like, no, this is not important?
It's like it's just literally not important. It's like I have 70 something thousand followers on Instagram, and I'll still play to, like, a bar of 8 people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change how you can properly actually bring people together mm-hmm. and catalyze them toward a feeling. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have any say on, like, the kind of world you're building. I think live performances, like, are music. Like, that's when the music is. Like, because music is a verb. It
goes like this. I say, whoa, you say, whoa. Can we try that? I say, whoa.
Kai's music does feel active, not just because of the audience participation or the stories woven between songs, but there are clear calls to action embedded in their music. At its core, there's a genuine, deep-seated activism spanning issues that are global and universal to the hyper-local, like down to a single intersection. On our KPBS patio, Kai told us the origin of the band name and how it's connected to the unhoused community in Oceanside and the people who care for them.
So, the name of the project is Topeka Clementine, but I'm from San Diego. It's from a street corner. It's not from Topeka, Kansas. It's from a street corner in Oceanside. There's Topeka Street and there's Clementine Street. And every Wednesday morning, my friend Jordan, he goes out there and he outfitted a trailer to be the shower stalls. And he helps provide access to clean, warm, running water to all of our houseless neighbors. This is inspired mostly by a man named Mike. This is the Ballad of One-Eyed Mike. As you may have guessed, Mike has one eye. I don't call him One-Eyed Mike to his face. That would be very rude. I just call him Mike. But the thing is, I know a lot of homeless Mikes. I also know a lot of Mikes that live in houses. I think it's just a really common name. And I think the point I'm trying to make is that we're not all that different. And your housing status doesn't determine what human rights you should have access to.
I'm sleeping on the concrete. I'm haunted by a memory now. So whoa.
You also performed Ballad of One-Eyed Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You tell the story when you perform it.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you to share that one?
It's just an important story to tell. I think it's important to note, too, that Jordan is an inspiration to me in that.
This is Jordan from Humanity Shatters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he started as a street photographer, and there's other street photographers that will take pictures of houseless folks and put their photos up in a gallery and tell their story and get all this exposure, and then none of that really trickles back down to people at the street level. But he would always end with an interview, and he would always ask, what do you need right now? And 9 times out of 10, someone said a shower. So he was like, okay, well, that makes my next move very clear. I'm going to do this. And it was based on the ask, what do you actually need? And then how can I make that for you? Rather than, oh, you look like you need a new shirt. Here's a new shirt.
Copperheads and cotton dust, so whoa.
Topeka Clementine is also in many ways a philanthropic project. It may not be overwhelmingly lucrative, but Kai still manages to make an impact with whatever they earn from shows, locally and touring around the country.
I'm in a very privileged position in that I live in my family's home for free. And so a lot of the other basic necessities of, like, food and rent and things, like, aren't really a problem for me. Like, they're not something that keep me up at night or that I stress about. And therefore, I am able to, you know, take all the income I make from a show and, like, give it to Abood's family. My friend Abood, who lives in Gaza, who I've been in contact with, I've been, like, managing a GoFundMe for them. Mm-hmm. And I do put proceeds from that I make from shows. Anything that doesn't go into immediate gas or food goes to helping them out. Mm-hmm.
Music and activism go hand in hand for Kai, from fundraising to storytelling.
So in Estonia, they have a singing festival called Laulupeetu. Every year, they get together and they sing folk songs, songs of their homeland. And when they were under Soviet occupation, like in the 80s, they were only allowed to sing Soviet propaganda songs. Until one year, they all just showed up and decided, actually, we're gonna sing all the old songs. And it's really hard to shut up, like 15,000 people, 15, 20,000 people, when they're all just singing a song. Like, it's really hard to get them quiet. Like, they brought out a marching band and they tried to, like, play over them, but the people were just too powerful. So that is how the Estonians say they sang themselves free. Not a single drop of blood was spilled in the Estonian Revolution. They sang themselves free. We gotta come together. We gotta lift all our voices together as one and decide on something. So yeah, let's do one more. Let's do one more round of these. Let's just at least get step one going, huh?
I said, whoa.
Here we go.
Thank you. I said, whoa.
More from Topeka Clementine and how grief recently reshaped their life after the break.
I said, whoa.
Thank you.
Hola, friends. In this episode of Port of Entry, we explore the efforts that made Assembly Bill 91 a reality.
A state bill that offers students south of the border a chance at affordable education in California.
We chat with the individuals behind this bill and the advocates working tirelessly to keep the dream of education alive for all trans-border students.
You don't want to miss this episode. Catch it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is one I wrote pretty much right after the death of my mother. Sorry, this got heavy really quick. That I lost my mother to cancer 3-4 months ago. Grief is weird. It stresses your time in a very interesting way.
Can you talk about the newest song you played, Feed the Trees?
Feed the Trees, yeah, I can. It's an ode to Mother Nature. I mean, it was just... It was so raw, right? I was attending my mother's deathbed vigil. And then on the screen here, there's like people being abducted. And I think it came from a place of feeling like I wasn't doing enough at the time. But I also had very important priorities I was dealing with.
Can you talk about how she plays into that song?
Yeah. I mean, well, the first line, heirs to death our mother makes us. You know, I think on a micro level that is like, my mother, my own mother, dying, and now I am an heir to death. But also, like, Mother Nature, yeah, we all are heirs to death. Like, that is our inheritance. That's the one thing we know we will get for certain. Sweet are the berries from her vine. My mom has this blackberry bush that was going off as sort of summer ended. She died on the solstice, the summer solstice. But also I think of like the parable. I think some people have like called it the sap parable, but I learned it as like a berry where like you're being chased by this monster to the edge of a cliff. And then you start climbing, you see a vine and you start climbing down the vine and you look down and you see like there's the same monster at the bottom. So now there's one up there, there's one down here. Mm-hmm. And now you're just hanging onto this rope. And then a mouse climbs up and it starts gnawing away at the vine. And then you look over and there's like a berry there, and like it is just that moment. Like that's all we really get is like that one moment. Imagine how sweet that berry is, like when you're just on the brink between inevitable destruction.
As the death our mother makes us, sweet are the berries from her vine.
And then, yeah, fragile are the minds that come to take us. Thinly veiled look at like ICE officers, like they are. They're fragile. They're shattered in their burdens, and like that's how the system designed it, so that they feel so helpless that the only thing they can do is put their humanity up for auction.
Fragile are the minds that come to take us, shattered in their burdens by design.
But yeah, bend and yield to hands that come to break us. I think that comes from the Tao Te Ching, like bend and you need not break. Mm. Like a fresh twig, like it snaps back, and that way it doesn't destroy itself.
I pray there's enough left of our ash to feed the trees.
When the last bomb falls, I hope my ash can feed a tree. Mm. And then there will still be some trees, there will still be some kind of nature once the human experiment is over with. It's like a resignation that it's not going to happen in our lifetime, but that doesn't mean we stop, because it's not a sprint, and it's not even a marathon. It's like this day-long trek through the desert, but that's also a relay race, and like someone just happened to pass me the baton.
To Kai, an unrelenting hope is the antidote to despair. You could just follow Kai's music and activism on Instagram, maybe even use the Breakfast for One piano riff in your next reel. but you can also catch a show. Topeka Clementine plays all over San Diego County, and in Kai's words, the performances are the music.
I pray there's enough left of our ash to feed the trees.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, this has been, you've all been Topeka Clementine. Welcome, yeah. Have a great day, drink water, love your neighbors. Check up on your friends, make sure they get home safe. For real, like, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I love you.
A special thank you to Kai of Topeka Clementine for their help with this episode. Thanks to the Sun-Drenched Sounds team at KPBS for putting on a great show. You can find the full video of Topeka Clementine's set on KPBS social media and YouTube. We're off next week, but in 2 weeks, on The Finest, Folk Arts Rare Records has been open since 1967, a feat for any small business and nearly a miracle for a physical music store. And for the people who work there, record collecting isn't just a hobby. It's a way of building community.
A lot of people are finding fulfillment in like everyday rituals.
The Finest is a production of KPBS Public Media. I'm your host, Julia Dixon Evans. Our producer is Anthony Wallace, who also composed the score. This episode was written by Anthony and me. Our audio engineer is Ben Redlask, and our editor is Chrissy Nguyen.
Hola friends, the Tijuana and San Diego borderlands are brimming with captivating stories of people whose lives are shaped by the connection between Mexico and the U.S. On the Port of Entry podcast, we delve into those stories. Listen to Port of Entry wherever you get your podcasts.